When Beth Barbush tries to tell people about this peculiar thing she's doing with her life this year, it usually comes out sounding something like this.
Living Chapters is kind of a performance art project slash creative writing project in which I'm asking 12 of my friends to write the next 12 months of my life. I'm usually left in silence as the person staring at me in an odd way, saying, "What does that mean?" And I say, "Well, it basically means I'm asking my friends to write me a chapter of my life, a future chapter, and then I have to go and live out that chapter."
Barbush is currently 4 months in to this year-long experiment in trust, friendship, and spontaneity. She's chosen a theme for each month as food for thought to inspire each of her chapter writers.
So the themes that I picked were body, kinesthetic. Chapter 2 is logic and order. Chapter 3 was the environment. Chapter 4, which we're in now, is existential / spirituality. Chapter 5 is purpose. And chapter 6 is interpersonal relationships. There's plenty of room to do work and improvement in all of these themes. And not just for myself, but there were themes that I think everybody struggles with. And so I thought, maybe people would be interested in seeing how I took on challenges around body and kinesthetic. Maybe they would have some suggestions. And when I say people, I mean like any of the public who may be reading the blog or watching me through this process.
The blog, by the way, is livingchapters.org. That's where Barbush posts the intimate details of her daily struggles and triumphs. You might have noticed Beth has carved out a year-long adventure for herself, but she's only chosen 6 themes.
The goal is to repeat the 6 themes with 6 new writers, to see if a different writer would take on this theme in a different way. It's also, I want to repeat the themes because I feel like a month on one of these themes just may not be enough time. And I'm kind of excited that I get to go back and look at the theme again, but maybe in a new way.
Once she settled on the monthly themes for Living Chapters, Barbush had to pick the friends she was going to entrust to direct her life.
I sat down and thought about the people that I go to on a normal basis if I have a problem. And then I just started calling them, not asking them directly to be a part of this project, but just kind of nudging them about, well, what if I did this thing? You know, what if I asked my friends to write my life? And then I went and did it. Some people were just kind of, they didn't understand why we'd want to do such a thing. They didn't get the idea. And other people were like, yes, this sounds great. I'm in, before I even asked them.
So when she told me about the project, I thought, clearly that makes sense.
Barbush tapped her friend Andy Cook to be the writer for August's Living Chapter. Cook's theme for August was the environment. He created a challenge that would keep Barbush on her toes all day, every day.
Andy created something called the cap and trade game, in which I had to track everything that I did, meaning like how much water I was using, how much trash I was throwing out, how many times I flushed the toilet, basically to show how every action that you make it has a reaction to our environment.
Yeah, it was a tedious task of keeping track of everything you did all day long and tallying up points.
Adding and subtracting and adding and subtracting, and then trying to figure things out like, if I was having a meal with some organic food and some local food and something that I didn't know where it was from, like, how would that add up? What would that add up to be? I don't know.
You know, as frustrating as it was to keep this kind of meticulous record, I really drove home the point that, our lives are consumptive and we need to be aware of that.
Not all the chapter writers have been such strident champions of their themes. Take Joe Gallo. He was the writer for Barbush's chapter on body / kinesthetic. You might think she'd choose a fitness buff for the job. Not so.
Neither Beth or I were big on exercise. In fact, the whole idea of the gym is just something that we just can't tolerate.
It actually was a theme that was really good for him to be challenged, because I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but the writer is committed to doing at least one of the challenges that they've given to me.
I challenged her to jog, and part of that agreement was that I too would jog. So we kept to it.
Which, if anyone knows either of us, was probably the last thing that either of us wanted to do.
No, really, I couldn't wait for it to be over because I just hated it. I'd get up early in the morning, about 5:30, and run about a mile and a half.
Yeah.
And it was just laborious. And, you know, my legs ached, my stomach ached. It was just awful.
Pretty cool trick, what our protagonist is up to each month with her chapter writers. Even though she's designed a project that's ostensibly about her, she's effectively double-daring her collaborators to challenge themselves, too. If you're just tuning in, we're learning about Living Chapters. It's a year-long experiment designed by community artist Beth Barbush. She's created it in collaboration with a circle of her trusted friends. Each month, another friend steps up to the plate and writes a quote-unquote chapter for her to live out, a series of goals and challenges around a chosen theme. Barbush is 4 months in to her Living Chapters so far. At the outset, she did have the foresight to put one of her friends in charge of what she knew was going to be a logistical Rubik's Cube. She convinced Maura Fratantuono to take on the title of Living Chapters Program Manager.
Maura is a very good friend of mine. I admire her greatly for both her visual artwork and her organization skills. She's a master.
So I make sure that all the sort of minutia is, you know, taken care of and that everything's rolling smoothly so that Beth can really just focus on her task for each month.
The chapters that are written are sent to her so that they don't go to me. I can't see them before they go up on the blog. That was the basic role that I really needed, was someone to be able to post those chapters without me seeing them. But then I also realized that I needed someone to bounce ideas off of.
I see my role as asking questions that can help her clarify what she really wants to be saying or doing or articulating.
So with logistical support in place for Living Chapters, Barbush also made sure to entrust another friend with the role of confidant.
I think her biggest fears really lie in how public her life is.
Elizabeth Brady talks to Barbush almost daily about her hopes and fears and doubts and frustrations while she's undertaking this odyssey.
As Beth is sort of processing these tasks before her and the way her life is being shaped, she sort of bounces her process off of me. So I'm sort of a friend, but also somewhat of a guide, I suspect.
Confidant Brady says our protagonist has arrived at something of a revelation about what it can mean when you let other people write the script for your life.
Oddly, I think her message is that life doesn't need to follow a script on some level, which is especially ironic.
If someone else is directing your life, that makes you the actor. And what makes a great actor is her ability to interpret a script. Just for safety's sake, though, there is a referee in place. Each month, before a new writer's entry is posted on the Living Chapters blog, it needs to be vetted and approved by Jim Naseth. For undisclosed reasons, he goes by the nickname Cosmic Jim.
I think he knows me in a very omniscient way.
I guess you just trust me, that's all I can say.
And so he's the one that actually makes those calls before the chapter gets uploaded. So I have no control over what happens in that chapter, but he is kind of the only filter that I have.
Referee Cosmic Jim Naseth has not had to call a foul or throw a penalty flag yet. All the chapter writers have been thoughtful and kind in their challenges. Naseth says it's kind of like a reality show full of really well-intentioned participants.
I can't forget the name of the ones where they put people on like a South Pacific island and they have them compete. That's really kind of nasty and mean, and people are lying to and stuff. And this is kind of the reverse of that, where you're trying to understand and see someone else's point of view, sort of live their life.
I think when I first started, I thought that the chapter writers would have me doing a lot of physical things. However, it seems to have taken a turn in which I have these kind of internal challenges where I'm learning about myself or what I really care about or what I really stand for. And then I have to write about it and let the public know about these really internal and intense discoveries, self-discoveries. So I've been having to take the time to kind of look at my own stuff.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with community artist Beth Barbush and her coterie of collaborators about a year-long project she's titled Living Chapters. Each month, Barbush entrusts her life to a new chapter writer, a friend who presents her with a series of goals and challenges around a given theme. Our protagonist is 4 months in to her year-long Living Chapters adventure. She's been chronicling the experience on a blog, livingchapters.org. And this month, her theme is existentialism/spirituality. Her writer for this chapter is Amy Rothstein.
We've started by asking some big questions, and each week we're trying to focus on a different thread that each series of questions leads us to.
Amy and I are not the type of friends that sit in small talk. We always kind of get to the heart of the matter and what is going on in our lives, which can be a bit serious sometimes, but she has a fantastic sense of humor. And but she's the one person in my life who I think has done the most work around thinking about meditation and spirituality. And so I was very excited when she decided she wanted to take on this theme.
Rothstein started the month by having one of those heart of the matter existential talks with Barbush. But the writer wanted to be careful not to let this life chapter wilt into a bog of overly analytical navel-gazing. So she gave Barbush a simple daily assignment.
I suggested that Beth engage in a daily meditation practice, both in the morning and in the evening.
The meditation practice at first was a bit of a challenge. You know, I am moving all the time. I'm thinking, I'm going, I'm multitasking. It's just like, how was I going to sit and just do nothing and just like let thoughts go out of my mind? I'd never done this before. But it has really kind of settled in. And now I really, really enjoy it and I look forward to it.
As chapter writer, Rothstein has taken it upon herself to meditate all month also in solidarity with Barbush. She says they've both struggled with the process along the way, but they've had each other to lean on.
I couldn't imagine anyone better to go through something like this with. And it's really hard to challenge yourself in isolation, and to have a friend that you can invite along for the ride is really an amazing thing to do.
Now, there is one additional twist to each month of Barbush's Living Chapters. She put the mechanism in place at the beginning of the project just to shake things up. She calls it the wild card.
So what a wild card is a person who can make one suggestion in the middle of the month. Their post goes up around the 15th of the month. And they are not allowed to tell me to not do something that the chapter writer has written, but they're allowed to intensify the month if they want, or they can pull back a little bit. They can change the direction of the chapter just a bit.
For this month, the existentialism spirituality chapter, the wild card is Agnes Lichtner.
My wild card was to have one day of silence. She can pick the days, but she has to internalize very deeply.
That's one mandatory day of silence each week for the next 2 weeks.
I first instituted this day of silence this past week, Wednesday, and literally turned off my phone. And I feel like I maybe was cheating a little bit because I'm still able to communicate via internet, and I still have some of that I need to do. But it was a really great process for me to not only be by myself parts of that day in that silence, but also be in public with that silence and seeing what the reactions were to my not speaking. And I'm actually really looking forward to doing it again next week. And I may institute this, and granted, I won't be able to do it every week, but I really would love to continue on with this day of silence when necessary.
Wildcard Agnes Lichtner did have one more stipulation, though. She insisted that her 9-year-old daughter, Grace, also be allowed to submit a wildcard assignment of her own. Barbush is close friends with both mother and daughter, so she happily agreed.
I knew that Grace would add an extra flair to the chapter as well.
My daughter said Beth had to wear a mustache when she meditates.
Young Grace sent our protagonist a wildcard gift package in the mail. A pair of glow-in-the-dark Groucho Marx-style glasses with a fake nose and mustache attached.
And when I received these glasses, I just started laughing out loud. I was just like, this is amazing. This is exactly what I need. I, at this point in the meditation practice, I was getting so uncomfortable. I had a bit of anxiety. I was like, I don't know how to meditate. Am I doing this right? Is this really Zazen? Am I Zen enough? I saw these glasses and I knew. Laughter and a little lightness is all you need. And now every time I wear these glasses while meditating, which I am, by the way, feeling ridiculous while doing so, but I also feel a little bit more grounded.
There's a certain circadian rhythm to the Living Chapters project, and 4 months in, Barbush is getting acclimated to it. There's the first of the month, when a new chapter is revealed, a brand new list of goals and challenges. Then, 2 weeks later, the wild card is unveiled. Things get turned upside down and inside out. Finally, the end of the month rolls around, a brief moment of triumph. Then it's the first of the month again. Christmas morning, all over.
It is a little bit like Christmas. So like I wake up on the first of the month and I get online. I'm like, is the post up yet? Is the post up? Because I don't know what to do or I don't know what not to do, you know? So it's very exciting the first of the month to find out what's going to happen. Especially because, you know, I'd still talk to my friends about all of this. They just can't tell me what the chapter's going to be the next month. And so there's all this like whispering and I know what's coming. You know, there's certain people in the project that know what's up before the month starts. So it has a little bit of anxiety of like, oh man, what is this person going to ask me to do? So I get the chapter, take it on in a way that I can. And by the end of the month, I mean, it's been different every month and I feel like I've engaged with the different themes so far in different ways. I wish, the one thing I wish is that there was more time between ending the chapter and beginning the next, because it feels a little overwhelming to not have that chunk of time to reflect upon what just happened before I'm thrown into a new adventure and a new story the next month. I mean, I'm starting to think of this as a job in a sense. It's like I wake up in the morning and this is my job to accomplish these things. And it's not like a job that you wake up to and hate doing. It's actually been a lot of fun and really rewarding.
You talk about this being a job. I mean, do you have a job at the same time? I mean, how are you making this happen? And what is your, like, job?
I do have a job, and I am so lucky to have this particular job. I work for the Maryland Humanities Council. It's a statewide nonprofit. And I'm lucky enough to be working part-time right now because it provides me a lot of freedom to be doing creative projects like this. But my job has been to create dialogues around particular community issues around the state of Maryland. So we bring people together to have difficult conversations about issues that are controversial in their communities. And the job itself has taken me all around the state of Maryland and has kind of, it's changed my lifestyle in a bit because I've had to travel to so many places in Maryland and I have to kind of integrate myself into that community for a short period of time. And then I get up and I leave and I go to another community. I feel like I've gotten really used to making changes and a lot more fluid and flexible in the past 3 years that I've worked for the council. And I started thinking that if I'm going to do this and change my life so much for a job, why couldn't I do this for myself? So I started thinking about like all these different places that I was living in and the different times there working with these different people as chapters. And I was like, oh, well, that chapter's closing, and now I'm moving from the Eastern Shore to Annapolis to do the next project. And I think that's kind of where I got the idea of the chapter.
How many people would really put themselves in the hands of others in this way?
Doug Sadler is going to be one of the wild cards during an upcoming month of Living Chapters. He says he's really been impressed by Barbush's trust and commitment.
I mean, we probably wouldn't put ourselves in the hands of our spouse in the way of saying, what should I do for the next month, and then actually do it. So there is definitely a stepping off the cliff boldness to this project that is inspiring.
Also inspiring, says Sadler, is the organizational architecture she's put in place to make a really life-changing idea really easy for anyone to pick up and try for himself or herself.
There's kind of a roadmap, I think, she may be creating here that other people could take on.
In fact, that's exactly what's happened. Shannon Twenter recently moved to Boise, Idaho from Baltimore. She'd met Barbush briefly at some point in the past, but they were just casual acquaintances. Then, just a few months ago, a mutual friend sent Twenter a link to the Living Chapters Facebook page.
And I started reading it and was like, what is this?
And she reached out and said, hey, you know, I love what you're doing. It's inspiring. I want to do this. I was like, really? You want to do this? What does that mean? We had this long conversation and she decided she wanted to start her own Living Chapters blog. And this was really exciting to me that someone else wanted to do something as crazy as I devised. And it also excited me because I thought, well, wow, well, maybe this could catch on. Maybe people would want to try to use this as a model.
In our society, I think our sense of community can be much more spread out now. We're, you know, in different parts of the country and some of our dearest friends and family are spread out. And I feel that this is a way to connect you to that. And then I also think that it's appealing because we don't often take the time to talk about these big issues, and it pushes you to do that with your friends.
She's using the model, but she's kind of devised her own themes. And she from what I'm reading, is doing a great job with it and learning a lot about herself.
So the first chapter was about just getting perspective while being present in my new environment. And this next one has been about faith. And, you know, I've had really good writers who have been pushing me and challenging me in those areas.
Twenter says her main goal with the project, she calls hers Open Book, is simply to try and become more open and trusting of others and just the world in general.
And I can feel that shift happening, and I'm only 2 months in. So I feel like Beth has created a really nice model that lets you benefit from the community of your friends and also be challenged by your friends.
I did want to see if I could set an example for people to learn how to let go of a little bit of control, what would happen. So it is exciting.
In the meantime, Barbush has her own example to follow for another 8 months, sharing control of her life with the writers she's entrusted to lead her down unpredictable paths of self-discovery. You can check in with our protagonist if you'd like, see how she's doing along the way. Her site, livingchapters.org. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Hankin.